Are you ready?
Yeah!
Let's get ready to
rock this joint!
Welcome to your source for the best sports talk on University of Michigan football and basketball, Detroit sports, and the best national sports headlines. This is the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
And that's the bottom line, the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
And now, the man who will be providing you with his vast knowledge of the world of sports, Derek Stone.
Good morning and welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth. I am your host, Derek Stone. You can follow me on Twitter at SC Sports Truth. That's SC as in the initials of Stone Cold and then Sports Truth. Or you can follow me on my website at stonecoldsportstruth.net. And as always, if you'd like to join in the conversation at any point during the program, the phone number is 734-822-1600. I'm continuing my discussion today of the Joe Moments Bracket. I started it last week. That is the greatest moments in Joe Louis Arena history for the Detroit Red Wings. And this is the final season that the Red Wings are playing at the famous Joe Louis Arena before they move into Little Caesars Arena next season. So without further ado, let's get back into my discussion of this list. Slava Kozlov scoring the game-winning double overtime goal in Game 5 of the 1995 Western Conference Finals, and this helped the Red Wings advance to their first Stanley Cup Finals since 1966.
Chicago controls the faceoff, and Suter. Daze knocked it out of midair, and now Poulin to Denny Savard onside. Savard and Howe into the corner, and Mark Howe clears it around the boards. Doug Brown far side, Fedorov with Kozlov cruising on left wing. Here's Kozlov dancing in, takes the shot, scores!
And that is going up against Martin Lapointe and Slava Kozlov scoring the game-winning overtime goals in the 1997 Western Conference semifinals.
Murphy got it out of there. He's breaking Shanahan the room. The point in the middle. Martin Lapointe. What a score! Detroit wins it in overtime. 59 seconds in.
Kozlov. Back pass to Konstantinov. Kozlov again. He shoots. Score! The Red Wings have won it.
In this matchup, I have to go with Kozlov's game-winning double overtime goal in Game 5 of the 95 Western Conference Finals, because that sent the Red Wings to their first Stanley Cup Finals in 29 years. I know it wasn't a do-or-die situation for the Red Wings. They were up 3-1 going into that Game 5 of those Western Conference Finals, but that was a huge goal nonetheless that sent the Red Wings to the Stanley Cup Finals, and it was an excellent move that Kozlov put on the opposing player and got it past Ed Belfour, the Chicago Blackhawks goaltender. So that's why I go with that game-winning goal. And the next matchup on the Joe Moments bracket is Darren Helm's game-winning overtime goal in Game 5 of the 2009 Western Conference Finals, and that advanced the Red Wings to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Brett Lebda, screenshot, Holmstrom bangs it to put this score! Darren Helm, the Wings are headed back to the Stanley Cup Final!
And that is going up against the Red Wings Stanley Cup Parade on June 10th, 1997, for their first Stanley Cup title since 1955, a 42-year drought that was ended that very season. And I know the parade holds a lot of special memories in people's hearts from 97, with all the Red Wings players parading down Woodward Avenue in those fancy cars and holding the Stanley Cup above their heads. But that was the most exciting part of the parade, and that actually didn't take place in Joe Louis Arena. If they would have paraded those cars around the Joe Louis Arena rink somehow, then I would have given them the advantage in this matchup. But since they didn't, I'm going to go with Darren Helm's game-winning overtime goal. And I see we have a caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take this call. Joe from Wyandotte, welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. What do you want to talk about today?
A question about Blashill, and then I'll set it up with a comment, and it'll be obvious where I'm going with my question when I do it. A tale of three teams this season, one of them on a 25-year-in-a-row playoff streak in their last season in their rink that they'd love to continue that streak, but three teams were on a downhill slide about a month ago and out of the playoffs. Two of those teams, Montreal and Boston, decided to unload their coach rather than pawn off their players and are actually in the playoffs again, which leads to my obvious question. Since they barely made the playoffs last year, is Blashill an NHL-caliber coach?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think he is, and that's why I believe he's going to be fired after the end of this season, I'm hoping, with the new owner of the Red Wings, the son of the late owner Mike Ilitch and Chris Ilitch. I'm hoping he does a massive overhaul of the coaching staff and the front office, because the Red Wings, they've been stuck in neutral for so long. They haven't gotten past the second round since 2009, when they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost, unfortunately, in seven games to those Pittsburgh Penguins on home ice.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, which is why I asked the question. I don't think Blashill cuts it. I think they should have unloaded him a month ago rather than unloading the players, and might have been back in a playoff spot like Montreal and Boston did when they did the right thing.
Well, that's really tough to say if that would have really jump-started the Red Wings, because the Red Wings are who they are right now. They're just a team that is so sloppy in so many areas. The defense is terrible. Their defensemen just are not good on their assignments. They let players have free will at their own net, and they just and their offensive supposed offensive playmakers just aren't cutting it. Thomas Tatar and Gustav Nyquist, they're a shell of their former selves under the previous coach, Mike Babcock. Babcock got the most out of those guys, but Blashill hasn't. I think pretty much the Red Wings, a lot of these players need a change of scenery. There needs to be a complete overhaul, not only of the coaching staff and the front office, but also the team as well. The Red Wings need to stay away from signing players in free agency and just try to bring up and see what they've got in the minor league system for right now, because obviously if the season were to end today, the Red Wings would probably get a top 7 or 8 pick in the NHL draft, so that means they could get a premier goal scorer to come in right away and hopefully put a jolt into this franchise like Steve Yzerman did after he was drafted in 1983, coming in to his first season with the Red Wings, scoring 39 goals.
I don't think that there's a Yzerman in this draft, but
yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Babcock got more out of them than Blashill is, and that's why I agree with you. He should be fired, and that's why I think he should have been fired a month ago to see if someone else could have gotten better out of the squad. And it does seem like Babcock got out of town because he's seen the writing on the wall that there might be another decade of the dead things return.
Yeah, I mean, that is very possible. But, I mean, there are some bright spots on the Red Wings. And I know Dylan Larkin's having a sophomore slump this year, and he was great for half of his rookie season, then he slumped off the second half. But I think if he can go back to Grand Rapids and refine his game a little bit. He's a great skater, there's no doubt about that, but he has to refine his skating ability a little bit, and if he does that, he can become a much more effective NHL player. And then Andreas Anthanasiou, he shows great speed and goal-scoring ability from time to time, and Anthony Mantha really has done an excellent job this year coming into his own for the Red Wings. So there are some bright spots in that area, but as far as the rest of the team goes, I think it's very questionable, and I think if the Red Wings can get rid of some of these players, pretty much outside of those three that I mentioned, that they need to do it. The era is over. The title era is over. It's been over for a while, but now this pretty much cements it.
I agree with you. You have yourself a great day. I was glad finally it was up at this time on a Saturday to tune in and participate.
Okay, all right, Joe. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks. care.
Okay, bye-bye. If you'd like to join in the conversation like Joe, you can call 734-822-1600 and getting back into my Joe Moments list. And let's see, where did I leave off? Oh, yes, okay. The next matchup on the bracket is Nicholas Lidstrom's first career hat trick on December 15th, 2010.
Lidstrom for Zetterberg along with Holmstrom. Lidstrom joining, shooting, scores! Nick Lidstrom on a bouncer, 1-0 Red Wings. Holmstrom dropped it back. Rafalski refers to Zetterberg. Finds Lidstrom, tees it up, shoots, scores! Nick Lidstrom with Holmstrom in front. Another power play goal, and it's 4-1. Zetterberg, I want to get across center. He does. He sees Cleary going. He got it to him, and a bouncer over his stick.
Give it to Lidstrom.
Lidstrom with it. The shot. Oh, scores! Hat trick, the first of the career for Nicholas Lidstrom.
Oh, my God.
And that is going up against Brett Hull, scoring his 700th career goal on February 10th, 2003.
There he drops Datsun. Across the shot. Scores! There it is! 700 for Brett Hull! The sixth player in history to get there as they pile off the bench to congratulate him. The second fastest to 700 behind only Wayne Gretzky. They let him hear it here at the Joe.
Both of those are very fine moments, but the obvious choice here is Nicholas Lidstrom's first career hat trick, and he played his entire career with the Red Wings, arguably the greatest defenseman in National Hockey League history. And Brett Hull only played, I don't remember how many seasons he played here, but it was a very brief career here with the Detroit Red Wings. Brett Hull made a lot of his career scoring goals with the St. Louis Blues. That's where he made his mark. So that's why I go with Lidstrom in this matchup. And I see I've got another phone call here. Let's go ahead and take this. This is Mark. Welcome to the Stone Cold Sports Truth.
Oh, hi, Derek. I'm glad to be a caller on your show today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, sir.
Hey, I'm just calling. You know, I know where the Red Wings are right now. They're lackluster, to say the least. I rode with them as far as watching them and going down to Joe Louis in the years prior to Yzerman. Boy, those are some dead years, I'll tell you what. I remember one time they went in a triple overtime against the Penguins, as a matter of fact, and they actually won that one, but you thought they won the Stanley Cup because their record was so dismal. And I'm looking at some T-shirts I got here from the 97 head-to-head when they went against the Philadelphia Flyers, and then in 98 they were back-to-back champions. And those were good times. And, when Yzerman came aboard and all that, what do you think the coach is? We need to replace that coach they got right now, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely needs to happen. I mentioned that with caller Joe earlier in the program. There needs to be an overhaul of this team right now. Nothing is working. And a lot of this falls on the general manager, Ken Holland, signing a lot of bad long-term contracts to players who just don't show enough ability to be really good for a long period of time. They haven't proven themselves enough to deserve those long-term contracts. And that's why I believe Holland needs to go, as well as the coaching staff and pretty much everybody in the front office. The Red Wings need an overhaul to get back to Stanley Cup contention. They're arguably the greatest American National Hockey League franchise in the league's history. They need to get back to getting back to greatness and competing for Stanley Cups on a consistent basis. They don't want to have to go through another extended Dead Wings period like they did from the late 60s through pretty much the mid 80s. They need to have a massive overhaul if they want to be able to get back to raising Lord Stanley's Cup again. That is job number one, and I'm hoping the new owner, Chris Ilitch, does that.
That's very good that you brought that up, because I was just, that was my next point. Now that Mr. Ilitch has passed away, do you think that they're going to take the reins and move on where he left off?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping Chris Ilitch has a much more aggressive mindset than Mike Ilitch had shown in his last years as owner of the Red Wings. It just seemed like Mike Ilitch was settling too much with the current Red Wings roster and not putting enough onus on Ken Holland to make the necessary moves to try to get the Red Wings back to Stanley Cup contention. But I'm hoping Chris Illich sees the writing on the wall and that this team is going nowhere and that it needs to, they need to start over.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Derek. I appreciate your input on this and your knowledge. Thank you, sir.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, if you'd like to join in the conversation, the phone number is 734-822-1600. And the next matchup on my Joe Moments bracket list is the 1980 NHL All-Star Game, which featured the return of Red Wings legend Gordie Howe.
And from the Hartford Whalers, representing all of hockey with great distinction for five decades, number nine.
As you can see, even though Gordie Howe was playing, representing the Hartford Whalers in the All-Star Game that year, it didn't matter to Red Wings fans. He was still a beloved player in team history, and it was great. It was one of the greatest moments in Joe Louis Arena history. A great way to christen that new rink. And that is going up against the Red Wings, winning their 61st game of the 1995-96 season on April 12, 1996. The Red Wings would end up winning 62 games that season to break the Montreal Canadiens' record of 60 wins during the 1976-77 season. And I have to go with the 1980 NHL All-Star Game in this matchup simply because Gordie Howe, the legend, the greatest player in Red Wings history, getting the standing ovation that he got. Not to take anything away from that 95-96 Red Wings team, they unfortunately fell short that year in the playoffs, losing in the Western Conference Finals to the Colorado Avalanche, and that's why I give the NHL All-Star Game from 1980 the advantage in this matchup. And the next matchup on the Joe Moments bracket list, the first game at Joe Louis Arena on December 27th, 1979, when the Red Wings lost to the St. Louis Blues 3-2, and that's going up against the Red Wings, winning their 21st straight home game of the 2011-2012 season on February 14th, 2012. It's still the NHL record that they extended to 23 straight home wins. And I have to go with the Red Wings' home winning streak record in this matchup because at the time, Joe Louis Arena seemed like a bit of a downfall for the Red Wings moving from their beloved home rink of Olympia Stadium. But later years, the Red Wings' greatness with all those great Stanley Cup teams made it a legendary rink. But not at the first home game in that rink's history. And the final matchup in the first round of the Joe Moments bracket was the 2002 Stanley Cup championship team.
1 minute left to play in regulation time. There goes Arthur Zerbe. Here come the Hurricanes. The shot is deflected wide of the net. Cleared up on the boards. Dumped away to the line. There goes Shanahan. Empty net. Scores! Shanahan does it. 12 seconds.
That was an excellent season for the Red Wings. They assembled arguably the greatest team ever in National Hockey League history with 9 Hall of Famers: Steve Yzerman, Nicholas Lidstrom, Chris Chelios, Brendan Shanahan, Luke Robitaille, Brett Hall, Sergei Fedorov, Igor Larionov, and Dominic Hasek between the pipes as their goalie. And that is going up against Steve Yzerman's jersey retirement. And I have to go with Yzerman's jersey retirement in this matchup simply because he is the most beloved Red Wing of the modern era. I know there's a lot of great players that were on that 2002 Stanley Cup championship team, but Yzerman alone, he is the most admired player in among Red Wings fans, and that's why I give his jersey retirement the advantage in this matchup. And moving on to the Sweet 16 now, I'm going to go through these very quickly all the way to the final two in the bracket. 1997 Stanley Cup versus Nicholas Lidstrom's jersey retirement. I'm going with the 97 Stanley Cup team. Steve Yzerman scoring his 60th goal of the 88-89 season against Darren McCarty's Stanley Cup clinching goal in Game 4 of the 97 Stanley Cup Finals, going with McCarty's Cup clinching goal. Chris Chelios' 1,496th career game against the 1998 Stanley Cup team, going with the 98 Cup champs. Steve Yzerman scoring his 600th career goal against Steve Yzerman's game-winning double overtime goal in Game 7 of the 96 Western Conference Semis. I'm going with Yzerman's game-winning double overtime goal. Fight night at the Joe against the Red Wings, destroying the Colorado Avalanche 7-0 in the 2002 Western Conference Finals Game 7. I'm going with Fight Night at the Joe. Slava Kozlov scoring the game-winning double overtime goal in Game 5 of the 95 Western Conference Finals against Darren Helm's game-winning overtime goal in Game 5 of the 2009 Western Conference Finals, going with Kozlov's goal in that matchup. And Nicholas Lidstrom's first career hat-trick against the 1980 NHL All-Star Game, going with the NHL All-Star Game. And the Red Wings winning their 21st straight home game of the 2011-2012 season against Steve Yzerman's jersey retirement, going with Yzerman's jersey retirement. Now on to the Elite Eight. 97 Stanley Cup versus McCarty's Cup clinching goal, going with McCarty's clinching goal here. 98 Stanley Cup champs against Yzerman's game-winning double overtime goal, going with Yzerman's game-winning double overtime goal. Fight night at the Joe, Kozlov scoring the game-winning double overtime goal, going with Kozlov's double overtime goal. The 1980 NHL All-Star Game against Yzerman's jersey retirement, going with Yzerman's jersey retirement in that matchup. And now on to the final four. McCarty's Stanley Cup clinching goal in Game 4 of the 97 Stanley Cup Finals against Steve Yzerman's game-winning double overtime goal in Game 7 of the 1996 Western Conference Semifinals, going with McCarty's Cup clinching goal. Slava Kozlov scoring the game-winning double overtime goal in Game 5 of the 95 Western Conference Finals against Yzerman's jersey retirement, going with Kozlov's game-winning double overtime goal. And the final two for all the marbles. Darren McCarty's Stanley Cup clinching goal in Game 4 of the 97 Stanley Cup Finals versus Slava Kozlov's game-winning double overtime goal in Game 5 of the 95 Western Conference Finals. And my pick for the greatest moment in Joe Louis Arena history is Darren McCarty's Stanley Cup clinching goal in Game 4 of the 1997 Stanley Cup Finals. That was my most favorite moment during the tenure of arguably one of the greatest hockey arenas of all time in Joe Louis Arena, to see Darren McCarty take that puck one-on-one against Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Yanni Nienema and fake him out of his skates, and then take it in against Ron Hextall, the Philadelphia Flyers goalie, and put him on his side on the ice in a helpless position, and McCarty puts it into the open net, giving the Red Wings the 2-0 lead. And the Red Wings eventually became Stanley Cup champions later that night. Whew, what an exciting play that was. And there's certainly a lot of great memories in Joe Louis Arena. Too many to count. It was really amazing that they were able to get it down to these 32. I'd like to thank you very much for joining me here on the Stone Cold Sports Truth. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at SC Sports Truth. That's SC as in the initials of Stone Cold and then Sports Truth, or follow me on my website at stonecoldsportstruth.net. Next week, I will be talking about the NCAA men's basketball tournament.